T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Of this event. Yeah, this has powered all fields from Acuña. The crowd is appreciative of the 21. And now 22. That's going to get out of here.
I tell you, Vladdy was impressive to watch. Woo! But the home runs to the opposite side to center field, that might have been a more impressive complete round for Ronald Acuña Jr.
Ronald Acuña makes a big statement at the Home Run Derby last night, and it was going to right field, what, probably 3 or 4 times, going to dead center, probably 3 or 4 times, and then another 15 or so to left field and left center. It was an impressive show in that opening round win over Josh Bell at the Home Run Derby. And welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9. The game is Ronald Acuña makes it to the second round and then gets beat at the buzzer by the eventual champion, Peter Alonso of the Mets. And
he
Alonso,
was tired, though. Acuña. He was tired. He was crushing him, but you could tell he was a little tired.
It would wear me out. I mean, that is a workout.
Yeah. I mean, man, and you know, you're talking about the way he was spraying the ball all over the place. That was pretty impressive. Yeah, he was tired, though. That's a lot. That's a lot of home runs. He almost hit 100 home runs in one night. It's a lot of home runs.
Yeah, it is a lot of home runs. I mean, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., even though he only has 8 home runs in his rookie year so far this season, put on a show and broke all sorts of records.
He practiced for that thing, though.
Right.
Like, he was practicing. Like, Vlad went into that thing. I'm like, listen, I ain't got that many home runs, but I'm going to go ahead and try to win this thing. I'm going to get that $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Almost did.
And then with Pete doubled his salary, but then he gave most of it away. Listen, I'm going to tell you like this. I understand he gave it away for a great cause. Not, you know, no disrespect to the cause that he gave his money to. But I'd have been hard-pressed to give away $1 million to charity. I'm just saying, listen, he did it like, listen, stand, like, I commend him for it. But if I'm doubling my salary, for one night's work, I'm it's going to be hard for me to go ahead and cut a check for more than half of to give to charity. God bless his soul. Like, seriously, that's a conversation that I would have had to, like, that would have been a conversation that I would have had to have with the little people on my shoulder, like the devil and the angel, to give away more than half of the money that I was giving away to charity.
I just saw what Jarvis put on the rundown this morning.
What was that?
Jarvis Davis, the producer here. The Mets finally beat the Braves, kinda.
Shout out to Pete Alonso, though, man. That was pretty cool. I mean, it was cool. I commend him for that. Yeah, I don't think I could have did that.
No, I mean, hey, Vlad, it's 91 home runs. It doesn't win it all. You know, I mean, hey. But Acuña got to the second round. It's sort of a little bit like, you know, if you think about the All-Star game, you had Trey Collins get beat in that ridiculous shot in the skills challenge. And John Collins, who had a great dunk contest, gets beat by the, you know,
that
the whims of
flight
the
Carolina thing, though, John. I can't. That was hard to. That was. He could have did better.
Okay, but anyway, he put on a nice show. Better. He did a nice show.
John, you
he
can't sell.
He put the airplane.
John, listen, you can't sell. Listen, you good for hyperbole. You can't sell that one to me this morning. He would. That was not good.
But they put on.
I was like, huh?
They had. But they. You talk about elevating your brand, and Ronald Acuña elevated his brand.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. They did a great job, man. I was proud of Acuña. I'm just saying, like, what was his name? Was calling him Acuña last night. But, yeah, I'm proud of him just for the fact he got out of the first round, man. First time it's been done by a Brave in ever for him to get out of the first round. And then for him to compete the way they did. He'll be back. I'm pretty sure that's something that – well, let me pull that back. Let me amend that a little bit. All depends on how he comes back swinging. He might be one of those guys that, you know, if it messes with his swing a little bit too much, he might not want to participate in it anymore. But – He had a great showing. He had a real great showing last night.
Well, and then we get ready for the All-Star game tonight. We'll see Freddie Freeman bat third for the National League. Ronald Acuña will bat ninth in his first debut. It'll be Ryu of the Dodgers against Verlander of the Astros for the starters in this game tonight. And Justin Verlander, who's known, of course, for being a tremendous pitcher, also known for having a very famous, you know, SI model wife, is now going to be known, too, for a bit of controversy in a way. And I say in a way because I'm not sure it's really controversial what he said going into the All-Star game yesterday. Verlander decided that yesterday was a good day. And to his credit, probably right, because he had the attention of the national media all in Cleveland. And he said this. Verlander said, Major League Baseball is turning this game into a joke. They own Rawlings. And you've got Rob Manfred, the commissioner, up there saying it might be the way they center the pill, talking about how the pitchers are throwing it. They own the company, the blanking company, he said. If any other $40 billion company bought out a $400 million company and the product changed dramatically, this is Verlander, it's not a guess as to what happened. We all know what happened.
I'm saying the ball's juiced.
Manfred came in and said, he said, we want more offense. All of a sudden, he comes in, the balls are juiced. It's no coincidence. We're not idiots. And so Verlander saying the ball is juiced. I agree with him. I think the ball is juiced. And then last night, Verlander was asked about these comments during the Home Run Derby, and he said this.
I mean, it gets discussed for sure. I've talked to a few guys about it. I mean, obviously something's different. I think everybody's aware of that. So, I mean, we talk about it. And it is difficult. It's hard to pitch. It's hard to pitch when everybody in the lineup can hit oppo homers now. So, you know, hey, it is what it is. Everybody's pitching the same ball. It's just, you know, I kind of just wish they'd just say what it is. You know, but yeah, I mean, we have fun with it. I have fun with a lot of the guys here, actually. You know, joke with them about it or whatever. And, you know, it's all in good fun.
He was trying to pull it back.
I
look at it like this, John. Like, when I hear, and, you know, all due respect to everybody that pitches, that's not an easy thing to do, hitters and all of that. But I always hear people talk about in baseball, like the stats in baseball are holy, no question about that, and I understand that. But in every game, the equipment changes to get better results. And the first thing that I thought about was in golf. Like in golf, the ball changes to get better results. The clubs change to get better results, you know, to hit the ball further. Why is it such a taboo to have the same thing in baseball? I think what needs to be done, I don't have a problem with the ball being juiced because I think that it adds excitement to the game, and I think that people love, like they said back in the day, chicks dig the long ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think what needs to happen, and you hear, and I've heard on more than one occasion, I've heard pitchers say this. Nobody's pitching anymore. There's no emphasis on – there's not a big emphasis on starting pitchers. They're starting throwers. And more of the emphasis has gone to middle relief and the bullpen. It's more of a like a specialized thing. So I would say this. If you are worried about the ball leaving the park, how about, you know, you take some of that speed off of the ball and learn how to, you know, paint a little bit. That's what I would say. Because that I hear a lot of pitchers talk about that. Like you got a lot of guys that if you could throw the ball hard, you're going to get a shot. Now, if you can't, you know, it's more emphasis on the speed of the ball as opposed to actually pitching and learning how to get moving on your balls and all that other stuff. So I would say that if you are worried about people hitting the ball out of the park, how about become a better pitcher and not just be a thrower?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's no small ball anymore in Major League Baseball. It's all bomb ball. And Verlander's right. I mean, I think we all understand Major League Baseball owns Rawlings. They own the baseball. And there is no question in my mind that they have made adjustments to the baseball. They lowered, you know, they even mentioned lowering the stitches so that the pitchers can't get quite as much movement, changes the aerodynamic of the ball, and that the ball is a little. Look, I think Verlander's absolutely correct. The ball
is juiced. I'm not disputing the fact whether he's correct or not.
Yeah, compared to what it used to be,
I'm not disputing any of that. But again, I would say this: every sport has better equipment than they had the predecessors had. And why should baseball be any different?
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. You know, you get better material. You get better material to put inside the ball to make the ball go further. And I think people, when they go to baseball games, they want to see that. I mean, it's the evolution of the game. And then when you talk about people talking about baseball has become somewhat stagnant, you got to start trying to figure out a way to bring people back to the game.
I'm not arguing your point. I think Rob Manfred is intentionally
doing
this.
I mean
we're all
on
the same page here. But I understand from a pitcher's standpoint the frustration because they're saying, look, You know, unlike golf, where, you know, nobody's being harmed by this, we're being harmed by this because our numbers are going through the roof.
No, I get it. And like I said, when I started out, I said numbers in baseball are sacred. But, again, I hear a lot of pitchers talking about home run, veteran pitchers, Hall of Fame pitchers, talking about how, you know, guys don't really paint the corners anymore. They just throw hard. They throw fast.
Right.
So now if you want it to change, then you have to evolve and you have to change. That's all I'm saying. I mean, it's like anything. You know, you're talking about football and how, was it last year? People are talking about, defenders were complaining about the tackling and how, you know, it was egregious, some of the calls that they were making against defenders. What, it took 3 weeks to adjust to that? It took like, well, yeah, 3 weeks to adjust to the new tackling rules. It's like anything. You have to learn how to adjust. And instead of complaining about it, if you want to make it better, you have to learn how to adjust. Adapt or die. That's how I look at it.
You know, and, of course, you know, you're talking about, I mean, they even flirted with a four-point line in basketball. All these sports are trying to figure out a way to make scoring go up because scoring and chicks
everything,
do the long ball, right? Everybody.
Even in football.
The NFL, the NBA, all of that. Baseball.
That's what I'm saying. It's the evolution of sports. And like I said, I get it because you can ask anybody that has played baseball, has followed baseball, that is a true baseball historian. Certain stats in baseball are sacred. I get that. But baseball is a sport where you look at the average viewer and you look at the people that actually go to games, it's a little older. Like the people that are watching, it's a little older. Mm-hmm. You need to start getting younger. And, you know, you see a lot of young kids in the stands.
There's no question you're right about that.
That's what I'm saying. But it's,
I mean,
it's
no question.
That's how it is, John. And you have to figure out a way to get them young butts in the stands. I was trying to work that Charmin thing in there.
What was the Charmin thing again from yesterday?
Because it's like Charmin booty clean. Yeah, it was like Charmin booty clean.
If you hear the commercial on 90 Day, that's what he's talking about today.
Hey, I tried to be serious about it, but then when I said butts, I thought about the Charmin booty
song
clean.
Into it that stuck his fancy ear. But you have so many guys hitting home runs. I mean, you have 34 guys that have 20 home runs at the break or more. And so, yeah, the ball's jumping out of the park. And the only reason we're not going to have somebody break the single-season record for home runs, break the all-time, you know, get to 70, is because we really don't have that super slugger that's in baseball right now. I mean, there may be, but he just hasn't emerged.
Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Well, yeah.
If he could just do it regulation.
The regulation game. Because he only has 8 during the regular season.
Yeah,
you wouldn't know that.
That's crazy, the way he was crushing them last night.
You wouldn't know that from watching last night. Maybe he'll hit 40 more after the break. But, you know, there's no McGuire. There's no Bonds. There's no, you know, because the guys aren't juiced, right? I mean, that's the other funny thing about this. The balls are juiced. The guys aren't. I mean, chicks dig the long ball the first time around. The balls were fine. It's the guys that were juiced. Now it's the guys that aren't juiced, but the balls are. And so, I mean, but that's okay. I mean, and so Justin Verlander is just speaking the truth, though he felt the need to walk it back because I think they threatened him with, who knows what they threatened him with, but somebody got in his ear and said, you got to kind of walk this back. You're, you know, the starting pitcher in the All-Star game or whatnot. But when he's speaking truth to power, when Justin Verlander says, we all know what happened. Rob Manfred, the first time he came in as commissioner, what did he say? He said, we needed more offense, which, by the way, that's exactly what he said. And all of a sudden, this is Verlander, Manfred comes in, the balls are juiced, it's not a coincidence, we're not idiots. Well, of course it's not. You know, I mean, Major League Baseball is setting home run records for a month. Major League Baseball is
setting on pace, John, for like 6,000.
I mean, yeah, they're setting for a season, for team records, for individual records. Now, for hitters, this is great because, man, they're going to be able to go in and start pointing to their numbers and go, look at what happened. You know, look at me.
I mean, I get it. And like I said, it hurts. Like, I get where he's coming from, Verlander's coming from, because at the end of the day, it hurts your bottom line. Like, it hurts your numbers. It hurts your negotiating power. I'm not arguing that. But, again, when the equipment changes, you have to be able to adapt. Like, you just have to. Because let's say he admits the ball is juiced. Now what? What are you going to do?
I know.
You're going to go to Japan. You know what I mean?
Right.
What are you going to do?
Right.
What are you going to do? You have to adapt. You have to. There's no other way around it. Just like, Clay Matthews complained about it for a couple weeks as far as his tackling and roughing the passer. And then everybody adapted. Everybody complained about the rugby tackling. And then guess what? You adapted. Ain't heard nothing else about it. That's in every sport. Every sport, there's an evolution. And either you're a part of the evolution or you become what they call fossil fuel, become a dinosaur.
Yeah, and it's up to pitchers to adjust. I mean, Andy Perry tweets in, says, does anybody throw a good knuckleball anymore? Yeah,
What was it, R.A. Dickey?
R.A. Dickey. I was just thinking that myself, oddly, before Andy tweeted that.
Jamie Moyer.
You know, I mean, thinking, you know, look at Dallas Keuchel. What kind of, Dallas Keuchel is an old school guy.
Yeah, he ain't throwing fast.
Nope. Dallas Keuchel's an old school guy. And can he teach these young bucks of the Atlanta Braves, these young pitchers, to pitch a little bit and not just to hurl?
No, you know, it's funny. I never forget, I asked when I was in Philadelphia, asked Jimmy Rollins, why is it so hard? Because Jamie Moyer was pitching. Jamie Moyer pitched that he was like 45 years old.
He did.
He pitched that he was 45 years old, John Freak. And I'm like, dang, why is this old dude out here still being able to pitch? He said, dude, because he throws the slowest ball that you ever see. He said, but as soon as you think you're going to hit it, it just falls off a table. And he said, that's why it makes it so hard. And I was like, wow. And Jamie Moyer used to go out there, man, and he'd give you like 7 innings of like the slowest pitches that you would ever see, but you couldn't hit him. Mm-hmm. You couldn't hit him. Mm-hmm. And that's what I remember. I remember that, and I would watch him, and I'm like, wow. That's why he was able to play as long as he was, because he could what they say, paint. He could paint the corner.
Well, would Greg Maddux still be an effective pitcher today? You bet. You bet. Greg Maddux would
but
still
not
be
about,
a dominant
it's not
pitcher
about
today.
That. I hear a lot of guys saying that, that, you know, if you could throw fast, if you throw like 99, 100, you're going to get a shot. You're going to get a shot.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get a shot.
You're a hurler.
Everybody falls in love with the jugs gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're a hurler, bringing it at 100 miles an hour, you know?
I wish I was a hurler. Hurl it for a couple.
You mentioned there's some big stories today. A lot of ways for you to get involved in the program. You can always call. The phone lines are always open with you and I at 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line, same number. And at 929 The Game on Twitter. I'm at John Fricke. He is at BigHugh53 if you want to tweet directly and at us. And next, Julio gets cornered by TMZ at the airport. TMZ asks him about his contract. They do about a 90-second walk-and-talk interview with Julio talking about the Falcons and whether or not he's going to report to camp. We have that interview. We're going to play it for you next after a CBS Sports Minute.
I'm grinning cheek to cheek.
Ryan fakes the toss, flips it on the screen. Here's Julio. Jones is open down the far sideline and will score. Oh, my heavens.
There you go, Atlanta. Julio's in the end zone. Stop the clocks. The counts.
One of the big highlights from a disappointing season last year was that win on the road over the Washington Redskins when they pounded the Redskins into submission. And we thought maybe they had turned the corner, but they hadn't. But nonetheless, Julio had a big year last year.
Wait a minute. AP coming back for another year? Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, I think so.
Another year, right?
Yeah. Last
I heard. Shout out to him.
Fact is, Julio led the NFC in receiving nearly 1,700 yards last year. 8 scores for Julio Jones. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game on this Tuesday. We mentioned a lot of headlines leading to the All-Star Game in Cleveland tonight. We're certainly going to talk a little bit of football because we are 13 days away from the Falcons being at camp, and we will be live at training camp at Flowery Branch every morning, and it's open to the public every day. So those days, and again, I've tweeted out the schedule beginning Monday the 22nd. We want to have you come by, and when they open up the gates, come by. Do say hi to Hugh and I on the set and all of our shows as we broadcast live from Flowery Branch beginning Monday the 22nd for the Atlanta Falcons and their AT&T training camp this year, which is going to be hot, fun, and early because we are only, 23 days away from the first football game of the year, Hugh. I mean, that's how fast it's coming.
Yeah, but the first one is we're 12 days away from training camp. Now, that's the first one. And then, you know, after that, we used to break it down into sections. Get past the first couple of days of training camp, and then you start thinking about, that first preseason game. You get a good week of work in before you get to that first preseason game.
Well, as they get ready for the Denver game at the Hall of Fame game in Canton, the big discussion here as we get to camp will be, you know, Julio Jones and Grady Jarrett and their contract situations, and we'll see what happens here. But yesterday, TMZ caught up with Julio Jones here less than 2 weeks out from training camp. And they asked him about, they had a conversation, it's about 90 seconds long, and they talked to him. So I want you to listen to this because it's really interesting stuff what Julio said about, because remember last year he held out for the one day of training camp, trying to get, an extension on his deal, and he got a little more money. But now he wants a new deal. So what does he say now ahead of camp? Here's what he told TMZ.
Yo, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Good. Okay, quick question. Everyone wants to know what's going on with the contract.
Everything's going good right now. I'm doing my part at the end of the day. Just training every day, being ready, being prepared for the season.
Best wide receiver in the NFL.
Oh, man, thank you. My agent, the Falcons, Mr. Blank, you know, I just said it before, Mr. Blank gave us his word. That's golden. You know,
his word was what?
It's going to get done. There's no stress on my end. I'm not thinking about it. He makes it easy for me to go out and just, you know, work every day, you know, and have one of those situations like, you know, a hold out and things like that.
So there's no chance of you holding out, none of that?
No, I'm not trying to hold out. Yeah. I'm not trying to do any of that stuff, man. Just trying to be a professional and do what I do and just, you know, bring it every year, you know, like I do every year. So.
All right. Well, you're looking to wrap your career up in Atlanta. Is that kind of the goal?
That's my goal, wrap it up in
Atlanta. How many more years you got in you, think? I mean, you're at the top of your game, so yeah, it's hard to say, but.
And I'm year to year, man. Like, for me, I haven't felt like I've lost a step, but as soon as I feel like, you know, I'm losing stuff and slowing down, I can't produce, I can't help but help my team and things like that.
You saving your money?
Always.
Yeah, always saving his money, right? Exactly. And
He could have, like, that one right there, man. I ain't too much like that. Save your money right that way. If I'm not, that's not your business. I don't know. I'm being hostile because I'm Charmin booty clean. Ain't got nothing to do with nothing. I just feel like throwing that out there.
Well, you said Arthur Blank's word to you is golden. And, of course, you can always be part of the program, 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, same number. And, of course, our Twitter at 929TheGame. Said Arthur Blank's word is golden. And this is kind of interesting because I think Julio is now taking this and kind of put it right back in the lap of Thomas Dimitroff. Hey, listen, you guys said that you want me to be a Falcon for life. Arthur Blank's word is golden. I plan on being there. In other words, and now it's on you guys to get this deal done.
I don't see it like that, John. I see it as this is a situation where there has never once been any Falcon that has been unwavering in their thought process of getting Julio's deal done. It just comes down to a matter of time. And just like Julio said, you know, his word is bond. There's no need for him to stress about it because it's going to get done. It's a timing thing. If anything, it's just a timing thing. So I don't know, like, when you say put it back in your lap, it's almost like, okay, the ball's in your court. You need to make a decision. I don't feel like this whole situation, I don't feel like it's hostile in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't.
No, I don't think it's hostile at all. I just think it's Julio's way of saying, look, I'm going to come to camp here. But in other words, if things don't work out, hey, listen, they've made me a lot of promises. And I don't think it's hostile either, Hugh. I want to be clear about that.
But you're saying things don't work out. I don't see any hostile intent.
Look, go back to last year. When Julio was asking for more money and he sat out for a day, when we sat on this radio station, people were blowing Julio up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's just trying to say, okay, don't get mad at me about whatever happens going forward here. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to hold out of camp, but he's saying, look, they've made me some public statements. You know, Arthur Blank's made public statements about making me a Falcon for life. We just got to work this out. But don't be getting mad at me for anything that may or may not happen.
I didn't read any of that. I didn't read any of that. All I heard was him say, it's going to get done. And he's not worried about it. As far as, you know, it's in your lap, anything like that. To me, this is a gentleman's agreement. Arthur Blank gave him his word it was going to get done. That's all that Julio needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's no, you know, ain't no hostility in it. Ain't no, if it doesn't get done by Tuesday, then I'm leaving or anything like that. It's going to get done when it gets done. This is one of those things. Arthur Blank, since I've been here, and from what I've read about him, he's been a real stand-up guy. And from what I heard in Julio's voice was there's no need for it to be anything more than, you know, hey, it just needs to get done in a timely fashion. Mm-hmm. There's no time limit on that. That's what I got from it.
And so Julio is, preparing to come to camp. And I know a lot of fans are asking, and we have fans asking about Grady's contract and Julio's contract.
Now, that's the one. Now, if there's anything that, if anything controversial, I would say that is more so than anybody else's because we know – that if I'm not mistaken, when the season starts, I don't think they can get anything done with with Grady during the season as far as him being, you know, franchise tag. So that's the one that I think that you're going to be looking at closely and see how that plays out because that's going to be something that is going to be a topic of conversation as you get close to the end of the season, at the end of this season and whether or not they're going to get something done with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and again, this is I don't think this is a big concern of mine. I think these are all going to work out in the way they work out. I have full faith and credit in Arthur Blank and Thomas Dimitroff. As Julio said, their word's golden. So they, Arthur Blank especially, his word is golden. And he said that Julio and Grady are going to be Falcons for life, therefore they will be Falcons for life. When it gets done, I don't know, but I'm not worried about it. I mean, I don't think you should be either. I don't think anybody should. And I think this team has got to focus on what they've got to do this season. I don't think there's any concern here on my part that there's going to be any holdouts of camp. I just don't. I don't see that happening. But I could be wrong. I mean, maybe somebody does.
I can't see that. Grady's signed his deal. He signed his tender. He's going to be there. As the season goes on, you know, Julio has Arthur Blank's word, Mr. Blank's word. I don't see it being any issues. This is what I get from everything that he said, since we want to try to pick apart what Julio said. This is a make or break season. This is a Super Bowl run year. No distractions. He might even look at last year's one day holdout as a distraction. And he might feel bad about that. So he's saying this year, I'm not gonna worry about this money because that's gonna take care of itself. I'm going to be there in camp on time. I'm going to be in the fold. We're going to get this thing going on day one so that we won't miss any time so we can make a Super Bowl run.
Yeah, and this team has absolutely an opportunity. You put Dirk Cutter, one of the best offensive minds in all of football, onto an offense that has the kind of weapons that this offense has in Ryan and Freeman, in Julio and Calvin, in Sanu and Hooper, with an offensive line that's been retooled. That's why we say the offensive line – everything hinges on this offensive line. If the offensive line is, they invested all this money and time into it, if it does its job, this team is going to be really good this year. And so that's why I have, you know, no concerns here. I think everybody's kind of on the same page. I know that we had the holdouts, you know, with the Vic Beasley thing that happened in OTAs.
That's another guy. If anybody should be under any kind of pressure, it should be Vic. I mean, if you want to look for storylines, Vic Beasley. I mean, what is he going to be? Like, Vic Beasley, as soon as we put shoulder pads on, I would venture to think that Vic Beasley is going to be the guy that's under the microscope the most, and then the second most will probably be Tack. The young guys, the young offensive linemen, they're going to be under the microscope as well. But, mm-hmm. Boy, those two cats, they're going to be really looked at, especially Vic. People are going to be looking at Vic, and they're going to be – if we got a chance, I would love – it's not going to happen, but I would love to be out there when they did one-on-ones. I know you can't really tell a lot from one-on-ones, but boy, I want to see the one-on-one drill. I want to see the pass rush one-on-one.
Here we go again this morning. It says Hughes World.
Yes. Well, I got a potpourri of stuff that I want to talk about. And y'all out there licking ice cream, y'all need to stop that. All that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 today.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Good morning, everybody, and this is Hugh's World. I said that this was going to be a potpourri of different things because, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, man. I know, John Fricke, last week there was a story of a young lady who got in trouble. Well, she was in a store. Mm-hmm. She was licking ice cream. She was licking Bluebell ice cream, and she put it back. So now to follow up with that story, the last story that I heard, they found the young lady. She's a minor, so they did not release her name, but she's looking at least 2 to 20 years in jail for being a food terrorist. So now they found.
Which seems a little harsh.
What you mean? Dude, a little harsh? Bruh, she licked some ice cream and put it back in the refrigerator. Ain't no telling what she got. There's no telling what she got, and she's putting other people in danger. Now, I understand you said 20 years, but I think that these penalties have to be steep for people won't do it. But on the piggyback that, John, there was a guy in Louisiana just the other day who got in trouble.
Uh-huh.
But they caught him for doing the same exact thing.
Yeah, and there's videos out there of drinking mouthwash and spitting it back
in
the bottle.
Yeah, man, that's
and
disgusting.
That is disgusting.
And that's food terrorism.
Right, but it goes to, you know, with this food, they have to – it's like, you know, Lean Cuisine. You got to put that film over it, you know, and if the film is broken, don't – you know, I mean
– You know they're making fun of me. That is food – you don't think that's being a food terrorist? not being a food terrorist. Dude, I don't know. Like, going in there, licking ice cream and putting it back, you're terrorizing me. That is like the highest, one of the highest forms of terrorism in my mind. This aggression will not stand. And then I just tweeted out a picture, John, of some families. I guess it was the whole family. They got into it at Disneyland, Disney World, one of the Disneys. And it is ridiculous. I mean, they are out there like swinging on each other like aminos. It was wild just to see folks out there fight like that. But the story that I really want to get to, and I know you probably won't be able to watch it because it's a different show. I was telling you guys yesterday about this show that I've been watching on HBO called Euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I started watching it is because it got great reviews. And it started talking about HBO has pushed the envelope way past anything that you've ever seen on TV before. John, they weren't lying. The show is about this young lady. Her name is Rue. And she is a recovering drug. Well, she's not recovering because she's still doing drugs. She almost overdosed. She's going into her junior year, and she overdosed on drugs. She almost died. And they brought her back to life. So now she's going into her junior year with some of her friends in high school. And there's a whole bunch of different stories going on in this drama that are really, really fascinating about, you know, just coping with high school life and, you know, the different things that kids have to deal with nowadays, John.
All right, so what makes this?
Well, the one is the young lady. There's a young lady, I can't remember her name, but she's a transgender female that's, you know, she's transitioning, and how she's dealing with, you know, how her family dynamic has changed. I don't want to give away too much of it, but how her family dynamic has changed because of her decision and things of that nature. And then this young girl, Rue, how she's just navigating like high school life, just like seriously high school life. John, I think I'm 4 episodes in, and from the beginning, it's one of them shows, man, that when you watch, like, it's like going down a rabbit hole. The more you watch, the more shock and awe that you get with each episode. Like I said, it's 4 episodes in, and yesterday, it was like, wow. So much so that my son is going into his junior year in high school. And some of the things that I see these kids doing, as a parent, it made me want to call him that night, to last night, and ask him some real, I know if I'd have asked him these questions, he'd have been like, dude, what are you talking about? Where is this coming from? But as a parent, you want to know. Like, it's just like I don't want to, you know, spoil it for anybody. You got to watch it. But when I tell you that they are pushing the envelopes of television.
In what way, though?
John, in every way that you could think of. Like the nudity thing, just the different questions that parents have that make it uncomfortable.
Is this a show that you would tell? Well, if it's about high school, would you tell parents out there to monitor this show so that their high school kids don't watch it?
Listen. I look at it more so as a parent. I want to watch because it kind of, I'm like, damn it. I want to know is this how kids act in high school now? Like, is this what they do? Like, this is way past.
Well, we didn't have sexting. We didn't have cell phones.
Dude, they talk, it's like, that's a big theme in it, John, where so much so that we're talking about sexting can get you, you know, child pornography laws come into effect and you can go to jail behind that. Mm-hmm. And these kids are doing this a lot.
Yeah, Nebraska's about to lose its number one running back because that's exactly what he did in high school. He was sexted with his girlfriend, and now they got him on child porn back in California.
Man, listen, so much so that I wanted to just call my son and have one of those dad conversations that he's looking at you like, Dad, what the hell have you been doing? Like, what's wrong with you? Because I really wanted to just make sure that he knew all of this. Because, you know, it's funny how things have changed as far as, like, some of the things we used to do. You know how when we was younger, the worst thing you could do at a party is go in the closet with somebody with the lights off and kiss them and be like, oh, my gosh, they kissed. You know, like, those were the games that we played. Boy, it's changed, John Frickin. And, like, when they talk about these parties and stuff and you know, alcohol being involved and some of the things that these kids are doing and being real cavalier about it, dude, it as a parent, I'm watching it and I'm like, I'm trying to decipher how much of this is real. Like, how much of this really goes on in high school,
mm-hmm.
and how much of this is HBO really, like, just trying to push the envelope and make it about, you know, just must-see TV? I don't know. Because, you know, you hear stories. You know, parents always, when they tell stories about kids, they always leave out the juicy parts because it's their kids, and they want to try to protect them as much as they
sure,
can.
Sure, of course.
But, man, when you see some of this, and then you hear some of the conversations that are being had in high school about some of the things the kids are doing, just in casual.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes you wonder, man. It just really makes you wonder.
But it's society at large. My wife and I talk about this not quite a bit, but we occasionally talk about this, about we know that this underbelly of society exists, all this stuff that is out there, you know, that's really bad and ugly and awful. And I just choose not to pay any attention to it because it just depresses me when I think about it.
Yeah, man. And it's like, boy, I got one, like, son, got to get him through this. Got to get him through, but it's like, as a parent, man, it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary.
All right, well, so, again, would you recommend to parents out there to be careful of this?
You
got to
watch it.
Well, yeah, but also be careful allowing their you know, because that's the show that apparently wants to get to the 13, 14, 15-year-old crowd if they're talking about high school.
You know what, John? I honestly think that, like, nowadays, I think it's better not to try to shield your kids from too much now. You know your kid, and you know what they can and cannot deal with. But I think it's one of those things where you can't try to shield your kid from too much because the world has changed too much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, things have changed so much that, you know, you have to, you know, keep it real with them. You gotta sit them down and tell them, you know, things aren't like they used to be when we were growing up. People are different. People change. People grow up one way, and then, you know, they decide that they want to be something else, which is fine. But it's one of those things that's changed. And, yeah, I just want to say on a lighter note, man, stop licking ice cream. Stop doing that unless you're going to buy it.
Because how about the ice cream companies put a film over it so that if anybody breaks the film, we don't buy the carton?
Yeah, you know, I think Breyers does that. And somebody just created out. My man Chris Belcher just said Breyers paid that girl to do that. Well, she about to go to jail. She about to do 20 of them things. And she should do. She should go to jail for 20 years. That's nasty.
Headlines.
I see you with the Mr. Ice Cream Man there, Orange Sigma.
On All-Star Tuesday with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.